written by one of the best shepherds I ever knew, which is King David. He was a shepherd for many, many, many years, and he talks about the Lord is our shepherd. We've been going through these names of God during the last, this is the fifth Sunday we're talking about. I think we have two more Sundays to talk the rest of this month about the names of God. In Hebrew, it's Jehovah Rohi, others say Raha. Rohi is a debate about that, but it sounds kind of like that. There is Jehovah Rophi, which is the Lord is my shepherd. In Psalm 23, verse 1, you probably can say from your heart, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's close our eyes in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you because you are here today. Thank you, God, because you are so great. Lord, I ask you that you would just please speak to our lives, our hearts today as we meditate in this psalm, Psalm 23, such a known psalm. Lord, we ask you that you would reveal things to our lives, our hearts that we need to hear, that we maybe struggle, that we need to learn, that we need to depend on you as our shepherd, Lord. I ask you that you would just please, 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 please help us to hear your voice. Speak to our hearts, God. I give you all the glory for what you do and ask you that you just take away and rebuke the enemy in every thought and every idea in our minds, in our thoughts, in our culture, in the way we grew up, in the way we think that doesn't go according to your word, God. And I ask you that your word will be so much more powerful, that we would live by your word, we'll accept your word, we'll hear your word, we live by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. The interesting thing about, like I said, is David wrote this psalm. And you know David was a good shepherd. The Bible says that when a lion or a bear will come and attack the sheep, what will this young man do? He would go and beat them with the instrument that is here in the Bible. The rod and the staff. The rod was a stick, like about this long. Shepherds had two pieces of wood in their hands all the time. It was like a baseball bat, but just a little smaller. You know, this same thing, not exactly a baseball bat, but it had a heavier part on the top and then smaller here where you can grab. And that was the rod. And the staff was also the long stick where they can bring the sheep around. But it's interesting, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When we read the whole psalm, and we're going to hear the whole psalm today, we're going to see the different things that we need in our lives. Because sometimes when we see the psalm, we say, oh, God is going to do this and going to do that. But there is a lot of things inside of the psalm that shows us other things that we need in our lives as a sheep. And I want to tell you today, we all have a shepherd. We all have shepherds. There is all kinds of shepherds in this world. But there is one shepherd who is the best shepherd. Amen? There is something that is going to feed you. Something that is you're going to trust on. Something that you're going to live by. And that might be your shepherd. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Lord cannot be your shepherd. And he is not your shepherd. The Bible says, and we're going to go to that. The first point of my message is, are you a sheep? Are you a sheep of Jesus? John 10:3-4 says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, for the shepherd, and the sheep recognize what? His voice, and come to him. He, the shepherd, calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. We need to understand today. I want you to see a video with me. I showed it before. A video was similar to this. When the Bible talks about shepherds in the natural who take care of sheep, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Sheep are not like cows. Cows, you can sell a bunch of cows to somebody else, and all the new cowboy needs what it is, a horse or some way to just push those cows around. Now, a sheep is a different animal because once the sheep is born into a flock, he understands that he is part of that flock and he starts learning the voice of the shepherd. It's not so easy for a man to, you're not going to hear a whole lot of this bunch of sheep being sold to another shepherd, especially when it is a shepherd who takes them around and leads them into pastures. And leads them into the places. I want you to see this video, and I want you to see how sheep, when they're born, they learn to recognize the voice of the shepherd. And I want to tell you today, when you accepted Jesus into your heart, one of the most important things you need to learn is to understand the voice of God in your life. Can we see that video, please, Gina? I just want you to see this video. It's a real thing, okay?
One more time.
Oh, one is.
Oh, there.
Isn't that interesting? Kita, 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 that's all they said. But it's interesting, when I watched the video and then I saw the farmer or the voice of the shepherd that they recognized, and when you see them, they say, oh man, this guy fooled them because he called them all, but then you wait a little bit more, and what he does, he's a good shepherd. If you see he has something in his hand, he goes and feeds some kind of grain to the sheep, and the end he goes, he knows that he should not be messing with the sheep. Let me tell you something. You and I know shepherds in our lives that we thought they were going to provide for us something. We hear the voice, whatever it was. It can be money, relationship, it can be fame, it can be, study, it can be reputation, it can be whatever it is, pride, it can be sin. But then in the end, what happens? We are disappointed. This is such a good illustration. And I want you to understand today, the Bible says that in the last days, many of the believers are going to be misled. The Bible says that. Many of the believers are going to be misled by false teachings. Why would that happen? I believe there is only one reason. When you don't learn to hear the voice of the shepherd, which is Jesus, and when you don't spend enough time in God's word and in his presence, you don't learn the voice of God and how to recognize the voice of God in our lives. The voice of God is never going to go against the word of God. But when you don't know the word of God, when you don't know the word of God, there are so many false teachings. I heard about a new one, and I don't want to even talk to you about it because it can confuse you if you don't really know the word of God. There is a sound doctrine that God has taught us. In fact, the Bible says that if an angel, or we ourselves, Paul says, come and teach you something that is not the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Do not follow, even if an angel comes and teaches you something. And it will break my heart to see people being misled by false teachings, by false prophets, by false preachers, by false people who are leading others into something that is not the word of God. Amen. I can talk about all these things, but I don't have time. But I'm telling you today, the sheep, they hear God's voice. It broke my heart a long time ago. I had a friend who told me, he was in the ministry. And he told me, I have not heard God's voice in my life for 2.5 years. I have not heard God's voice in my life for 2.5 years. And then something happened, and something happened in his life, and everything was changed. And he walked away from something that he was doing wrong, a sin in his life. And then after that, we spoke again. He said, I heard God's voice again after I repented and walked away from this sin in my life. And it's not always sin. It's just not paying attention to God's voice. How many of you guys struggle with that? Is this God speaking to me, or is this God speaking to me? Have you ever struggled with that? That's not a normal struggle. But some of the times we are not so fanatic or not so serious about it and say, I don't know if it's God, I don't know. So we just do whatever we want. But wouldn't it be important for us as the sheep of God to really learn and to recognize God's voice? I'm a very careful, and you're not going to hear me say very much like God told me and God spoke to me, because I hear so many people say God spoke to me and God told me, and then it was not God, because you can see the results of this decision. You can see what happened. You can see they're talking about stuff that is not even biblical. Are you a sheep? Are you a sheep? How do you become a sheep? By surrendering your life to Jesus, number one. We're going to have a water baptism next Sunday. And I want to encourage you, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should not wait anymore. In the first church, you know what happened? People got saved. The same day they got saved. Look at the Bible, in the book of Acts, the guy, when Paul and Silas are in prison because they're preaching the gospel and they are worshiping God in the midnight, and the chains break and the walls fall down. And that man who was taking care of Jesus, he accepted Jesus, and that same night, him and his whole family got baptized in the water. So if you are a Christian, if you have decided to follow Jesus, you need to get baptized in water. That is a public demonstration that you really, 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 really want to walk with Jesus. And I use a marriage as an example, because when you really, really, really have made a decision for somebody, you want to be with that person forever, you want to marry that person. And that's why we marry somebody, because we have to completely in our hearts make that decision. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to wait anymore. You don't have to wait. We all struggle with stuff. I want to highly encourage you, if you know Jesus in your heart, talk to me after service. Text me. Put your name in that paper over there. Bring a towel. We have towels here. If you forget your towels, we can give you towels. We don't have your clothing, but you can just bring a change of clothing. We want to water baptize you. You can invite people. You can invite your family. You can just come alone. But we need to make that decision. The Bible says that my sheep, they hear my voice. They hear my voice. They hear my voice. And I can promise you, God wants to speak to you more than we want to hear sometimes. If you spend time with God, when was the last time? Are you like my friend, 2.5 years, 2.5 months, that I have not heard God speak? And then when he came back to have an authentic relationship with Jesus, he said, that morning I opened my Bible and God spoke to me again through a scripture in the Bible. It's not like a voice you may be going to hear, but you're going to know in your heart as you read the Word of God that God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. For the first time when I was reading this, I said, I shall not want. In Spanish, it's, El Señor es mi pastor, nada me faltará. I'm not going to be lacking of nothing, in other words. If the Lord is your shepherd, He says, I'm not going to be lacking of nothing. And when you read the whole psalm, you're going to find some stuff. The second point is just the scripture. It makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me. See, when you don't know, it all starts with the voice of God. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It is interesting to see that God needs to force us sometimes because we are so busy. We have so many cars and so many floors and so many jobs and so many kids and so many things to take care of, so many bills and friends and parties and relationships, and I don't know what takes your time. But the Bible says, I want you to meditate in this. When was the last time the Lord told you, I put you to the bed this morning so you don't go to work, and you're going to be in my presence, and you're going to spend some time in my word today. Have you ever felt God speaking to you like that? He makes me. I'm shocked how many times in the week God needs to make me. You know what he does? He cancels a meeting with me, with people for me, and he tells me, I gave you this hour and a half to lay down in green pastures with me. The Bible says he makes us. When we are close to that shepherd, when we are walking, when we want to enjoy what it is to walk with the Lord, he will make you lie down in green pastures. Wouldn't you be crazy if you would be the Lord and you have kids like you and me, and you see how much we're running around and we stressed we are and how worried we are and how full of fear we are and how we are walking in the flesh. And he makes you and he opens a window of a day, a half of a day, a 2 hours, whatever it says. And he says to you, I want you to relax because you need to lie down and rest a little bit. And what do? We keep doing more of what brought us to that point of stress, of worry, of fear. I am talking from my heart. As a pastor, years ago, I found myself in such an ugly place where people didn't even want to hang out with me, my family, my wife. I told you the story. I said, it's not even fun to be in the same room with you anymore because you're so stressed all the time, you're so mad all the time, you're so yelling all the time, you're so not fun to be around. And now nothing has changed. Life does not stop. I didn't last any responsibilities. But let me tell you something from my heart. You and I will have a way better life if we can hear more than once a week the Lord telling us, I'm giving you here an hour to lie down in green pastures with me. Turn off the phone. Don't go and do something else. Spend some time in the Word. Spend some time in worship. He makes me lie down. He knows that we need that. He makes us lie down in green pastures and not brown patches. I hope you can understand how spiritual this is. Some of us are walking for days and for weeks sometimes in brown patches. Have you ever walked, drive down the highway, and you see a bunch of cows or a bunch of sheep, and you're wondering, what are they eating? Because there is no green pasture. Have you ever seen that? It makes me sad. What are they eating? And I just want to, I don't know why, I think I love nature, but I'm thinking, who put these five cows, these three horses, in this big old piece of land, and you see nothing but dry weeds, dry grass. Sometimes you see more dirt and rocks than any nature, but there is a fence around them. And what are you thinking? Let's be honest. Who put them here? Where is the green pasture? I want to go and talk to somebody. I want to bring a truck and I want to put a trailer in this property and put all those, and I'm going to take them some down river, some down some valley, some river, some forest, somewhere. Where, did you feel like that? And I think the Lord sees us sometimes in the same place. And he says, I need to take you. You've been going for too long. You've been walking for too long in this brown patch. Brown patches. You and I, if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, if you are healthy physically, you know when you haven't eaten for a while because your stomach starts rumbling. You feel weird. Amen? You feel weird. I know people who they cannot walk all day long. Some people cannot work in the morning without breakfast. Some people just have to not eat breakfast. But by 10 or 11, they are going mad and they're grumpy and they have to eat something. And spiritually, when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you and you start feeling kind of weird, ask yourself, have I been walking for too long in this brown patch? God wants to take you to a place where there is food again. You and I know that we've been in moments in our days, in our weeks, that we are just going nuts. And all we need is what? To spend some time with Jesus. Yes or no? That's all you need. You don't need somebody to call you. You don't need to watch more TV. You don't need to open social media. You need somebody to give you money. All you need is what? To spend a moment, a time with the Lord. And it changes everything. It changes everything. He leads me besides, what is it? How are the waters? Still waters. Green pastors. That is our shepherd. Still waters. Still waters. But for a sheep to be able to drink out of the still waters, the sheep has to become still also in whatever they do. Amen? You cannot run through the water and drink water if you're going to really enjoy the waters. You got to stop. You got to slow down. You got to just be there by still waters. I wrote this down. Life gets crazy by nature. By nature, life goes crazy. I was talking to my son, my oldest son, yesterday, and we have this afternoon, and we said, what are we going to do? He doesn't have to work after church. I don't know. I don't have much to do. I hope I don't have any meeting. What are we going to do? Mom is not working. Sophia not start working, but she has to go work. But what are we going to do? Liam is not working yet. Emily's in college. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're always planning something. We have to do something. As a family, we have this opportunity. It doesn't happen every other day. It happens here and there. I said, I don't know. I said, maybe we just relax. And you know what Hans says? That's what I was thinking. That would be the best thing to do, to not have any plan and just rest for afternoon. If a 17-year-old tells you that, imagine what a 30, 40, or 60-year-old will feel about a Sunday afternoon. Do you understand where I'm going here? He makes us. He gives us the opportunity. He takes us to the green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. It's interesting that David doesn't say, he makes me drink the still waters. Is that what it says? When we read the psalm, we have to understand what it really says, my friends. It doesn't say, he forces me. He leads me. You know the phrase, you can take the horse to the water, but you cannot make the horse drink the water. That's something like that, no? Even sheep being so much one of the most calm and nice animals, tender and gentle. He leads me. He leads me. I pray that this week and the rest of your life, for you and me, God will continue to lead us to those places. And sooner or later, we will say, okay, God, I get it. I get it. Right now, you just lead me to a place where I can eat from your word, eat from your presence, worship you, spend some time with you. He leads me beside the still waters. Life gets crazy by nature. Are we spending time with God every day by the still waters that He leads us? It's interesting that He talks about pastures and water. How often does a sheep need to eat and to drink? Sheep are not like camels. Camels can go through days without drinking, days without eating. Sheep need to eat and drink every single day. Is it possible that the Lord leads us, but we are not eating? We are not drinking. Is it possible? Pay attention to the voice of God inside of you. Then it says, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. In my English, I wrote it, my way of understanding, the soul is the heart, the center of our emotions, of our thoughts, of our feelings, our decision. He heals my broken heart. That's my English, okay? When it says He restores my soul, He heals. He restores it. What is the restoration? He makes it new, something that is not going good, something that is corroded, something that is sick, something that is falling apart. He restores my soul. So this good shepherd, who is not going to make you lack of anything, He takes you to the place where there is food. He takes you to the place where there is guidance. He takes you to the place where there is peace. He takes you to the place where He wants to speak to you. But He also knows that He needs to heal us. If you have ever been in a place where your heart was really broken, really, really broken for something that somebody did to you, you will know that you know that you know that the Lord is the only one who can restore your heart again. And you would say, Pastor, I don't want it to go through that. It wasn't my fault. But let me tell you, the Lord, who is our shepherd, He knows there is going to be many people in your life who are going to come to you with a broken heart. And nobody has been able to help them. And if you have not experienced God restoring your soul, restoring your heart, you will not genuinely be able to speak to them about God is the only one who can restore a heart. I didn't want to go through this with my kids. Did you want to talk about having horrible kids? Go and meet my mom. It's going to cost you $1,500 to go and come back to Argentina, but it's going to be worth. I'll tag along with you. I lose some weight and get myself in the suitcase now. Why did I have to go through this? Why? Now, my mom goes to pastors' conferences to talk about how to deal with horrible, rebellious, atheist kids when you are in ministry, with addiction, with alcohol, with everything you can imagine. He restores my soul. The kingdom of God needs to have people who have experienced something that nobody else has experienced, so we can be the answer for them. Whatever you're going through, He restores my soul. He's the only one who can heal us. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I was Googling this week a lot about sheep. There is so many diseases, internal, external, contagious, viral, in the sheep world. It's very interesting how many of these diseases are very contagious. Do you know there are even diseases that the sheep carry that can infect a person? It's interesting. I don't have time to, but you can do that. Maybe that's a good teaching, a good thing you can do this week and spend some time with God there about being a sheep. But he leads me in the paths of righteousness, holiness, purity. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. What is saying here? The Holy Spirit is going to lead you in the paths of righteousness. But you and I have to make the decision if we're going to be obedient to him or if you're going to follow our flesh. I said in the beginning, we all have shepherds in our lives. We all have shepherds who feeds us, who leads us, but it's the Lord our shepherds. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. It's important that we understand, my friends. It's important that we understand that salvation has an initial moment where we surrender our life to Jesus, we give our heart, the Holy Spirit comes into our... That's a first step. But there is a second part of righteousness that is the rest of our life, which is the work of the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to make us more like him. And I can tell you, because I've been living in this world for 47 years, I struggle with the flesh just like you. Life gets only better and better and better. Or like one of my kids, he doesn't say that anymore, but I just love it. Life gets gooder and gooder and gooder. Walking in purity away from sin. It just gets better. Life is better. Because what you and I desire the most is what? The presence of God, the peace of God, the joy, which is God's presence. We desire that and we need that more than so many other things in our lives. And that's only possible as we walk in righteousness. This is the fourth point. We go to verse 4 now. I want to stop there for a second. I'm going to park here for a little bit. I think that this reason is probably, maybe, the reason why Psalm 23 is the most known psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This could be, is it possible, the verse 4 made Psalm 23 so famous? It's because we all walk through the valley of shadow of death sooner or later. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The valley of shadow of death. Where there is shadow, there has to be a light also. Amen? Amen. And the light is Jesus right there with us. Amen. Now, it doesn't say that death is in the valley. It says, what is in the valley? The shadow of death. A shadow cannot hurt you, but it can really scare you. Amen? A shadow cannot hurt you. You can fight a shadow all day long, and you're going to win. Well, if you want to, I guess, however you understand that. The shadow of death. When I was reading and searching in different websites about sheep diseases, I went into one that talked about things that kill sheep. And I found it fascinating that one of the things that kill sheep is worrying. So when I said that worry, I said, okay, I know my English is not good. I'm going to copy exactly this word, and I'm going to take it to another website, I'm going to go to the internet and say, this word, I think it means to be worried, you know, to worry about something, to be afraid about something. And I'm going to put this word, I'm going to put meaning, because this might be some disease. I'm very honest with you. And when I put that worry in, meaning, it took me to what I thought it was. So I said, really? Can a sheep die for worry? And so then I Google again cases of sheep who die because of worry or anxiety or fear. You can find it. It's in the internet. It's really easy. 3 years ago in the UK, there was 116 or 113 sheep who were left. The shepherd left them alone Sunday afternoon and came back 24 hours later. And all 116 or 113 sheep were dead. Not one was bit by anybody. But the neighbors said that for a long time, there was a group of dogs barking to these sheep. And all the sheep were found in a wall. They couldn't escape. And the neighbor says, and then I looked at other cases of sheep who wolves got them scared, or especially dogs. In fact, in the UK, they made a law that if a dog scares your sheep to the point of that sheep being so afraid that the heart stops working and dies, you can get full compensation for the owner of the dog. Because it's a real, real thing. They have so many cases of even sheep who were barked and barked and barked by dogs, and then the shepherd came and the dog left, and 2, 3, 4 hours later, the sheep just drops dead. And it's like, you know, when baby, you know how they call that when babies die? Like, sudden infant death. They have the same thing for sheep who they found. The sheep is healthy because of why? Because of fear that the dog were going to eat them. 100-some sheep all dead against a wall because dogs barked and barked and barked at them and never touched them, never bit them, never mauled them or anything like that. Now that takes me to a place why would God says, I'm going to walk with you in the valley of shadow of death. And I will fear no evil. Now the difference in between the UK 2016 story, the shepherd left the sheep for how long? 24 hours. And the dogs barked till they start dropping dead for the fear of dying. Now, you and I know what that means in our hearts, amen? The fear, the anxiety, the worry. I am trying to learn this concept that I'm going to give you now. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad because we all struggle with this. But in the area that you struggle with anxiety, with fear, with worry, is an area in your life that you have not submitted completely to trusting in Jesus in that area of your life. That is just the truth. I cannot help you any more than that because that helps me. But I have so much confidence in the finances is going to be okay, but maybe I'm so scared about this one kid. Maybe you really, really trust in an area of your life, but you're so worried in another. It's not that you're not a Christian. It's not that you're a bad Christian. There is a dog that comes, and you're really, really afraid of that dog in your life. That's what he says. I am walking with you in the valley of shadow of death. You are with me. He assures us the rod, it destroys the enemy. The rod is to kill lions and to kill bears. And the staff is the one that brings us back to what is the rod? It's a big old thing that Pastor Luis brought a couple weeks ago. It is a huge stick with a curve on it. So they bring that. It's important to see why he says that. The shepherd has an instrument to destroy those things, the fear that they can kill a sheep. But it also has another stick to bring back the sheep to what? To the company of the other sheep. He knows that we cannot wander alone and just do whatever we want. It scares me when a person says, I'm going to be a good Christian without going to church. I'm going to be a good Christian without being part of our church. I can do okay. The Bible says the shepherd is always bringing us back, not only to him, but also the company of the other sheep. His rod, his staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God prepares a table, blessings for our life in the presence of our enemies. I love it because the Bible doesn't say he is going to lead you away from the shadow of the valley of death. He's not going to allow you to go through the valley of death. He says he's going to let you go through the valley with him. And it doesn't say he's going to avoid you to have enemies. He says what? I'm going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. Is it possible that you and I need enemies? Well, we have one enemy, which is the enemy, the devil. We have another big enemy, which is our own selves. You struggle with your own self? I know we do. But there are other enemies, people who would like to make our life hard. You anoint my head with oil. You are going to heal me. You're going to refresh me. You're going to begin me, anoint me. My cup runs over. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. How many of you guys need the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God? Will follow me all the days of my life. Never is going to leave you. All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, his presence, forever. So I just want you to, I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I from the different verse, here are the things that the good shepherd knows that we need. In verse 1, he says, he's the good shepherd. He's not going to make me lack of any of the good things. In verse 2, you find that he is going to lead you to places with food you need to eat, places with still water you and I need to drink. He will guide you. We need guidance. We need peace. We need healing. We need holiness. We need purity. We need safety. We need to have assurance that he loves us. We need correction. We need other Christians. We need God's blessings. We need enemies in our lives. We need anointing. We need forgiveness. We need to know that he's never going to leave us. But it ends up saying, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It starts with his voice, and it ends up with his presence. It's so beautiful, this song. In the middle, he talks about the valley that he's not going to say, no, you're not. No, you're going. I'm going with you. Is there an area in your life that you worry? I want you to close your eyes right there where you are this morning. And I want you to think about this. We are just like the sheep around the world. We're no different than the sheep in the UK who die out of worry, fear, anxiety, thinking they're going to die. The dogs never bit them, never eat them, never touch them, just barked and barked and barked. Is there an area in your life that the enemy easily can come and bark at you. Did you need to start walking different, knowing that the shepherd is not going to leave you for 24 hours or 24 minutes? He's there with you. Is there an area in your life you need to say, God, I struggle with worry in this area so much. It eats my lunch. It keeps me awake in the middle of the night. It makes me go crazy in my mind. It makes me mad at people. It makes me do and say things who are not helpful. Is there an area in your life? What do you need the most from the shepherd? Did you hear his voice taking you every day, leading you to the food, leading you to the still waters? Sometimes you go and spend time with him and you really enjoy them. Some other times you are stronger tempted to go and waste your time on things who really don't feed us. Where is your struggle? He is the shepherd. He is the shepherd. It starts with his voice. It ends up with his presence. Did you need Jesus today? Did you need to say, God, I hear your voice saying, I need to get baptized next Sunday. I surrender to your voice, God. I hear you saying, it's not the pastor. I hear you in my spirit telling me, I need to get water baptized. When I was a kid, a baby, I had no idea what I was doing. But as an adult, I understand they have to decide to follow you. And then after that, I decide to be baptized. Lord, I want to be led by your word and nothing else. Father, we come this morning before you. Lord, I ask you that this you are my shepherd. That we'll go back home and keep reading this psalm and keep understanding areas in our lives that we need to really depend more on the shepherd. Areas in our lives where we have been trying to eat, feed ourselves, entertain ourselves, bring protection, bring guidance, bring all these things that we cannot supply because we are just a sheep. And you are the only one who can because you are our shepherd. Lord, I ask you this morning that you would just help us this week, today, as worry comes again and we see and hear the dogs barking tremendously at us. And maybe we see other sheep dropping dead next to us because of the fear and the anxiety. Lord, would you help us to remember this is an area that I have to start trusting in you, that you are going to take care of this, that you are not going to let this fall apart, that is what I hear in my head is not going to happen. I trust in you in this area of my life. Lord, I ask you, that you would help us, that you would help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.